the next gen pastor here, and I am honored and privileged to be with you this morning. I know Pastor Randy made an announcement last week that we were starting a new series called Country Gold. Is that right? Anyway, he was going to sing a live song, a live country song. Don't grab your stuff and leave. That series starts next week. I'm not singing to you this morning. You guys can all say amen to that one, right? Actually, I'm going to be closing out the series that he just got out of. And in the process of preparing for this, there was an adjustment, which is, we're talking about adjustments. There was an adjustment that happened this last Saturday night, a week from yesterday for me. We live an hour away from here, and we were watching the Astros game, right? Because, like, who doesn't? All Christians do, right? And so we're watching this game, and in the process, we're so excited. They win. We're old. We got to get up at 5 in the morning and go to bed. Phil's sound asleep, snoring already next to me. And I'm in that stage, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Mamas, you really know what I'm talking about. That stage between deep sleep and wide awake, you know something's going to happen, but nothing makes sense. Okay, sometimes when your kids are toddlers, you kind of live in that state anyway. But everybody was, you know, asleep, and I'm just about to be gone, and I hear gunfire. And I set up, and I'm like, oh, no. What do I do? And so I wake up Phil, or I try. Let me say that again. I attempt to wake up Phil. Phil, there is somebody firing guns. Okay. I'm like, well, you're no help. Okay, here we go. So I'm sitting there going, what do I do? And right in the process of going, was that guns? I hear it again, but I'm still not fully awake. And I didn't have the faith of, well, I'm just going to lay down and go to sleep, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I was freaking out, legitimately freaking out. But I did what anybody else, any other woman would do. If you live in a neighborhood or you're part of a neighborhood Facebook group, you know, first of all, women on Facebook are vicious. Women in neighborhood groups are the most vicious, but they get the information out that you want out. And so I jumped onto our neighborhood Facebook page, and there's already like 40 comments. Who is shooting guns? I think somebody's dead. I'm listening for ambulances. I haven't heard of them. It could be my ex-husband. He's crazy, you know, and I'm reading all this stuff. And I'm like, what are we doing? And I'm like just watching this thing play out. And then about 40 comments in, this guy gets on there and he says, .. Me and my boys are just excited that the Astros are going to. He said, it was fireworks, but y'all, it wasn't like the fireworks you go get at the stand. It's the ones that are like commercial grade you get from China directly. And they live two doors down the street behind us. It was like right outside my window. It was like kaboom. My dog was freaking out. Phil slept right through it. The next morning, I'm like, did you know we almost died last night? He's like, but we did it. And I'm like, okay, but we almost did. So I was thinking about in that moment that I'm wide awake. I'm like, okay, well, what do I need to do? And I had to adjust to the circumstances and get myself back to a place of peace and going to sleep. So I want to talk to you about adjustments when the situation doesn't necessarily go as planned, okay? I want to look at the story of John the Baptist. Now, if our young adults ministry, we've been doing the Gospels in chronological order, which maybe sounds fun to you. It's a lot of work, and we've been looking at this. And if you would have asked me 2 months ago, can you give me the chronological timeline of John the Baptist's life? I would look at you and go, no, can you? You know, kind of thing. But the more I've studied, I do know this. This is some things that we know, and you probably know too. So we're going to just kind of recap for a minute. First thing we know is that John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit while his mom carried him. We know that he was prophesied about in the Old Testament by Isaiah. We also know that he lived in the wilderness. He wore camel skin and he ate honey and locusts, which gross, you know. We know that he baptized Jesus. We know that he went to prison. We know that he was beheaded. And I do know that the beheading part ended, was the last part of his life, in case you're curious how that works. If it was at the beginning, the story would be totally different. But I never thought about the fact that when he baptized Jesus, he declared, this is the one. This is the Savior of the world. And then he went to prison. I never thought about it. So in studying it, what I want to talk to you about today is the story between when John the Baptist baptized Jesus to when he died. Okay, y'all gonna go with me there? Good. If you have your Bibles, then you can look and you're like, well, the story's in Matthew. It is, but we're gonna look at it today from the account of Luke. In Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 28, the disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called for two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? At that very time, some translations say in that very hour, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, their illnesses, and evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. After John's disciples left, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people who wear beautiful clothes and live in luxury are found in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scripture refers when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way before you. I tell you, all who have ever lived, none is greater than John. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. That's great, except for John is in a situation that he was not prepared to be in. John is sitting in prison. John is in a dungeon below the palace, and he's in this place where he's like, this is not what I had planned. No doubt, he had to be very uncomfortable. No doubt, he had to have questions. No doubt, this was not the thing he thought it was going to be. And so he sends his two disciples and says, look, go find out. First thing I want you guys to note is this. Your faith will always be challenged by your circumstances. Your faith will always be challenged by your circumstances. Not maybe, not possibly, but when you're in a season of comfort and God calls you into something new. When you're in a season of singleness and God calls you into marriage. When you're in a season of having money and God causes you to have kids. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, I don't know what that means, because you don't have a baby. Okay, your faith will always be challenged when your circumstances shift. When your circumstances change, your faith can be challenged. John's in the middle of the hardest season of his life. His circumstances begin to swallow up his faith. And if you're anything like me and you love Hallmark Christmas movies right now that are already on Hallmark Channel, and there's an app and you can follow them and it's really great, you're welcome. Some of you are like, I can't believe she just admitted that. Judge me all you want. I've seen like half of them already. But what I love about it is it always starts off kind of like, ugh. Like, he's not the right guy. She hates working for corporate America, but there's a town that makes Christmas cookies, and she goes there, and she meets the love of her life, and then it's a white Christmas. And it's like, why can this not be my life? You know, you're like, why do we not have snow? We are in Houston. That is why we do not have snow. The reality is we think that that's how it's going to start. Maybe not great, but it's going to end awesome. And there's always a happy ending, but that's not always the case. And that's definitely not the case here. But see, John does exactly what he was called and created to do. He had gone before and prepared the way for the Messiah. He was living in the wilderness, and people were coming to get truth spoken to him. Now, I want that to be a little bit of an encouragement to you. It's easy to go, I will never be like ... and comparing ourselves to other people. But if you will just be real in your own skin and speak the truth of who God is to you, your influence will grow, and you can be out in the middle of nowhere, and God will use you in the lives of the people around you. So John's in the middle of this amazing season, and then Jesus comes forward, and John's like, it's him. This is the one I've been preparing the way for. I'm not even worthy to touch his sandals. Jesus says, you got to baptize me. He says, okay. He baptizes him. The Holy Spirit settles on Jesus. And then Jesus takes center stage to the story, and his ministry takes off, and John the Baptist takes a back seat. Now, his disciples saw this, and they begin to ask, hey, what's up with this Jesus? Like, what's happening with us? So John answers them in John 3, 27 and 30. He says, John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. One translation says, he must increase, I must decrease. I don't care who you are, that is not a comfortable thought process. And so, yes, it is. We want Jesus to increase. What we want, let's be real, we want Jesus to increase, and we want to increase too. Right? We want everybody to increase. It's like Oprah. Everybody gets a car, you know? And it's like, wait a minute. Hold on. That's why Scripture says, come and die. Or pick up your cross daily and follow me. We might want to put that in a frame in our guest bathroom or bedroom. But realistically, that's a hard pill to swallow. But in order for God to be glorified in our lives, and for his will to be done on this earth, we got to allow him to take center stage. And we got to kill off those things that are keeping us from letting him do what he's supposed to do. So you got John the Baptist in prison. And his message went from, this is he. This is he. To, is this him? Is it? I think it's important that we realize that it is necessary that we don't allow our circumstances to adjust our faith. Do not let your circumstances adjust your faith. I've heard it said, I'm sure you have too, don't dig up in fear what you planted in faith. God is still moving even when circumstances aren't panning out the way you and I think they should. The strongest believers wrestle with doubt. You don't believe me? Find your small group leaders. Find your mentors. Talk to the pastors. Have you ever had doubt? Yes. Listen, you're going to have doubt. You're going to fight doubt the rest of your life. It's one thing to have doubt try to creep in. It's another thing to let it make home there. Don't let doubt have you. Second thing I think we should know is things don't always look the way you hope they would. Ain't that the truth? This is not what I thought. That's why I'm so glad at this church we have Marriage Matters. Because you got all these people wanting to get married focused on their wedding day. It's going to be the most beautiful thing. They haven't even thought about marriage. And they have this amazing, like, made-for-MTV wedding experience. And then 2 weeks later, she's like, I hate you. He's like, ugh, you remind me of your mom. And it's like, whoa, 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 we should have planned this out a little bit better. Right? Things don't always look the way we hoped they would. Let me give you a perfect example of that right now in our country. There's a guy by the name of Kanye West. And before you have an opinion, just keep it to yourself for a second. I want to talk to you a little bit about Kanye West. Kanye West is an American rapper. He has been very big in the fashion industry. His shoes could feed a small village in Cambodia. Like, he has been a big deal. His music is very much about sex, about Hennessy. If you don't know what Hennessy is, that's alcohol. I had to clarify that last service. I know some people were like, I think that's my cousin. No, not her. Hennessy. He talks about women. It's very degrading. It's very demoralizing. And when you watch his videos, there's even a lot of imagery of the occult. He even did an album referring to himself as Yeezus, a derivative of Jesus. And he has a song called I Am God. Now, think what you want. But this dude was pretty hardcore. And there were, hear me on this, millions of people following him. Here just recently, he had an encounter with God. And his life has been changed. Now, he's come right out and said, He said, this is what I used to be about. This is what I used to sing about. This is what I used to do. I'm only going to do gospel music. And I read this interview, and he was asked, who do you think will be the most judgmental? And he said, the church. And y'all, he was right. He was right. He just produced an album a couple days ago called Jesus is King. And before you judge whether you like rap music or not, I encourage you to give it a listen. But the reality is, here is a guy who was everything against what we stand for. And he turns and begins to follow Jesus, who, by the way, set you free too. Set me free too. And we are like, oh my goodness. We pray for a fire to grab the hearts of our young people. And when someone in Hollywood turns their heart to Jesus and they declare Jesus is King, we step back, we cross our arms, and we begin to judge them by their past. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that my past is not what defines me, or I wouldn't even be in this church right now. Amen. It's a dangerous place, people, when we get so caught up in things not looking the way they thought we thought they were going to. Next, we ask for God to use us. God, use me. I want you to use me. Do something with my life. And when he does, we have stipulations on what that should look like. Okay, only on these days and these hours and not with weird people, and make sure there's good coffee. I can't handle all these weird people. I can't handle people. A church would be a whole lot easier if people weren't involved. I'm going to tell you right now. We put these stipulations on God. I'll do it, but, and God's like, I need somebody that doesn't follow with but, or, and, that just says yes. We ask for revival in the land. God, our country's falling apart. Lord, people need to know the truth of who you are. There's so much gray area. God, send people. And God says, okay, I'll send whoever's willing to go, including women. And then we question God. I'm going to tell you something right now. We're in a dangerous place as a church when we spend so much time arguing on who is qualified to preach the gospel. Here's a fun fact. None of us are. But Jesus qualifies those he's called. And if you've gotten saved and you're still here, baby, you're called to preach the gospel. That may mean in your workplace, that may mean in your school, that may mean in your group of friends, but if you've got Jesus on the inside of you and you're not sharing that with other people, you're doing yourself and the kingdom of heaven a great disservice. I think at where we're at, we need to take whatever we can get. Can you speak? Then go. Go. I mean, let's be real. We were talking about this earlier. Kanye West, in the last week, has reached more people for God than the people who are all hung up on what gender you should be to stand in a pulpit. I mean, I don't want to be there the day Jesus sorts that out with them. I mean, I kind of do, but not really. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, can I just like hide behind somebody? But, oh, I saw that. Our churches in the Western world, y'all, especially here, we are so caught up and married to the idea, the method. This is how we do it. And the reality is, whether you like it or not, methods change, but the message never has. And we're fighting so hard to hold on to the methods, and it takes some crazy guy who found Jesus to go, well, hey, Jesus is King. And there's a whole generation of young people who were on their way to hell that are turning and going, well, maybe. And they're following after that. We got to let go of our methods, and we got to stick true to the message. We just do. And you can say, well, I don't know that if I buy the whole Kanye West thing. That's okay. Let me make it easy on you. It's not your place to figure out if he's saved or not. And it's not your place or my place to figure each other out. We're called to love. Let Jesus work out the details. You're great, but you're not that great, okay? We got to let him do his part. Okay, so here we got John and everything he's heard about Jesus up to this point. It's just not what he imagined. The last message he spoke about Jesus before being thrown into prison, you find in Matthew 3:12. It says, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. I don't know if that's how he said it, but that's how I picture it. Because there is this, like, that's a manly man verse, you know? It's like, rah. But the reality is, they had this idea, and it wasn't just John. It was all the religious leaders. It was the people of old. They had this idea that the Messiah would come, and he would take his place as king. He would destroy Rome. He would tear down everything that was built up against them, and that the kingdom of God would reign right then and there. This is how it's going to be, because that's how I imagine it. And now John is in prison. He sits in this dungeon prison. Herod is still ruling. Rome is still large and in charge. And from the inside looking out, the bad guys are winning. And Jesus, he's not burning anything. He's calling children to him. He's healing sick. He's raising dead. He's saving souls. He's loving broken. And it looks so different than everything that he imagined. And of course, doubt tries to creep in. And let's be real. We all have those moments. We all do. When God doesn't feel or look like we thought he should feel or look like. Well, this isn't what I had imagined for my family. This isn't what I had imagined for my marriage. This isn't what I had imagined for my business. Or this church, this isn't what I had. You know what? And we get caught up in the wrong things, and we find ourselves praying to God in a way that we say, I don't know that I can trust you because you're not operating the way I need you to operate. That's a very dangerous place. The fact is, the more we realize we don't understand God, the more real his bigness is. That he operates outside of our understanding. He operates outside of our time. And in John's situation, the only thing that's changed is the decrease. It's time for him to take a back seat. He was a hippie, right? Like, he was like the first original true hippie. He just like did his own thing. And got up when he wanted to get up, went to sleep when he wanted to go to sleep. He told everybody what he thought. If they didn't like it, they could leave his woods. You know? Like, we don't know if he took baths. I have a feeling he probably did it. He ate locusts, y'all. And he did this whole thing. But now, he's sitting in a dungeon. And the fire of the message that burns within his veins, there are no crowds there to hear. There's no one stepping up to say what's next. His job was to prepare the way for the Messiah. And the supposed Messiah was out there doing whatever it was he was doing. And John sitting in prison. Not to mention the Messiah who he ran and prepared the way before never showed up at prison to visit him. That's hard. Next thing you need to know is the very best adjustment you can make is to go back to Jesus. Very easily, he could have got caught up in his own thoughts. The what ifs. How could they? I can't believe. The Bible doesn't say if there were other people in prison, but he could have been like, this is a horrible day. Yes, it is. I hate being here. Me too. I'm hungry. Me too. We're best friends. We're the same. And they could sit and complain about everything that's not going right. And I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to have doubts, when you begin to have thoughts, when you begin to question what God is doing, stop listening to your own thoughts. And hear me on this. Stop listening to other people who are in the same prison you're in. I don't care if it's in your church, it's in your community, it's in your family. It's easy to find somebody who will jump on that negative train with you and ride that bad boy all the way. There are so many great churches in this community, and I feel sorry for them when people get all up in arms and offended and throw their hands up and going, I'm offended, I'm leaving, I'm going to go to such and such church. They would never do me this way. I'm like, we got to pray for that church. All these offended people who aren't letting God be God, and they're hopping from place to place expecting a church to fix their problems. When God says, turn to me, I am the one who can fix it. Well, things don't look like I thought they were going to. They're not going to, but if you'll give it a chance, you'll see that God's going to do something even bigger than we could ever imagine. You got to go back to Jesus. And then, this is my favorite part. Jesus doesn't walk away when we doubt. You can write this down and take it to the bank. Jesus has never, will never turn his back on you. We can turn our back on him all the time. We can throw a fit, lay on the ground, kick and scream in circles, and he's still just steady. In verse 23, he says, don't fall away because of me. Some translations say, don't be offended because of me. And it doesn't mean offended like what we take offended, but what he's saying here is this. Hey, John, I recognize that you're in a place where doubt is really trying to get a hold of you. Do not look at the circumstances. Everything that you've been taught, everything that you've believed, what's been prophesied over you, what you've lived out, what you've given your life to, what you said about me and what I said about you, it's all true. Don't fall away because I don't look like you think I should look, and this isn't panning out the way it should in your mind. Don't fall away. Everything you have known, everything you have thought, everything I have said, it's true. I am He. There's no greater freedom than when we can look past circumstances and stand on truth. And I'm going to tell y'all something maybe you've never heard before. But if your truth comes from Lone Star Cowboy Church on a Sunday morning, you're in trouble. What? Is there truth spoken here? Absolutely. Well, but I listen to podcasts through the week too. That's great. But you've got to have a relationship with Jesus where you know how to get in the Word and you understand Him for who He is. Because He's clear. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He is outside of that. And until you get in there and see the nature of how good He is, until you grasp that He has a better plan, it's easy to look at circumstances and go, He doesn't care. He's forgotten. If He loved me, this wouldn't happen. And we begin to get mad because things don't pan out. But when you start looking at who Jesus is, you're like, wait a minute. He is good. He is faithful. He is a redeemer. He is my ever-present help in time of need. This is who He is. Should you listen to your pastors? Absolutely. Should you listen to podcasts? Absolutely. But you've got to have that personal one-on-one with Jesus. There's not a person on this world that, I don't care how good they teach, that can take the place of what Jesus can show you through His Word. We can't get caught up in the prayers not yet answered. Pain that hasn't gone away and the problem that has yet to be fixed. Because if we do, we lose sight and we begin to doubt. John's disciples went to find Jesus. And there's no account of them pulling Him aside and going, hey, sorry, I know you're busy. I see the crowds, what you're doing, that's great. Good job, buddy. But can we talk to you for a second? They didn't say, hey, can we take you to lunch? They just marched up in the middle and they were like, hey, John the Baptist, remember him? Yeah. He's in jail and he wants to know, are you the Messiah or do we need to keep looking? And Jesus does the coolest, most Jesus-like thing. He doesn't answer them. He invites them into what He's doing. And like I said, that scripture that translates it at that very hour, they begin to see with their own eyes the healing, the resurrection, the demons being cast out, all these amazing miracles, dead coming to life, blind seeing, people walking. So then when He turned to speak to them, it wasn't just intellect. I asked Him a question. He answered yes. Their heart had shifted. And they saw it with their eyes, but they knew it with their heart. And He sent them back. And He said, you go back and tell John what you saw and what I've said. As they walked away, Jesus turns and does something I think is, I mean, like, you read it and you're like, oh, but you were studied out. I think it's kind of peculiar. Because He turns to the crowds and begins to talk about John, almost as if to give his eulogy. And John wasn't even dead. And he gives this beautiful speech about him. And there's no account of Jesus and John ever seeing each other again. But I believe with my whole heart, when those two came back to John and said, this is what we saw, this is what we heard, and this is what we know, in that moment, John was freer than he ever was his entire life. John never got out of prison, and he was beheaded there. And you can go, what a sad story, is it? It's not about the sad story of John dying, I don't think. I think it's really about the reality that he lived the life he was created for. I don't want to be the fun sucker in the room, but statistically speaking, one in one, we're going to all die. I'm thinking about making that my Christmas card. I don't know. Just kidding. I don't do Christmas cards. The reality is this. He didn't just live this life that we can read about and go, wow, that was really hard. He was destined for that. And I believe that there's a whole lot of people even sitting in this room right now. You're destined to something great, but doubt is keeping you from moving forward. And what a sad day it'll be if you don't shift that around when you stand before God and he says, I could have done so much more through you. But you let what those people said keep you from hearing what I'm saying. I've called you. I've qualified you. You don't have to have it all figured out. Do you trust me? Do you realize that you don't have to worry anymore? I'll carry you. I see things you don't see. I know things you don't know. And guess what? I know all your past. And I, unlike the world, and unlike much of the church, I'm not holding it against you. Every time Pastor Randy tells / asks me to be in big church, is what we call it. That's what y'all are big church. I always feel incredibly honored. But I also understand that I'm under the authority of my husband and my pastor. I'm not up here trying to take ownership and lead you guys in a way that our leader is not asking us to go. But even if Pastor Randy said, Amber, you're not qualified to do this, I have to believe that what's inside of me is put there by God. And just go, well, yes, sir. Maybe I can't do it here, but I'm not going to spend the rest of my life not doing it because I know that God has more. Listen, I believe that there's people in this room right now that you may love Jesus with all your heart, but you may be so mad at him. Maybe you just doubt because there's too many things that don't line up. It's like, I have done what I thought was right, and it's still not panning out. My friend, it may not be panning out the way you want it to, but you've got to trust God through this process. You have to trust that he's good and he's faithful and he's going to get you through this. And I also want to say, if you're in here and you're like, I don't have that relationship with Jesus, do not be foolish and walk out of this place without making that happen. It's the most important thing you will ever do. And for those of you who somebody somewhere along the way has made you think that you are not able, that you don't have anything to offer this world, that you're stupid, that you don't speak well, that you're too poor, you're too broken, you're too whatever the adjective you want to use, I want to tell you that is a lie the enemy wants you to believe. And Jesus says, if you'll turn to him, he will use you right where you're at. I'm so thankful he used 12 disciples that didn't even know who he was for a long time, and they changed the world. It took them a minute to figure it out. It's okay if it takes us a minute too. He's good. Bow your heads with me all across this room. Let's start with the main thing. I think it's so important. I think it's the most important thing ever. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, I think that's, we got to get that right. If you know that you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, and I'm going to tell y'all something, it's not a prayer said that changes your life. It's not just, well, I said it. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, He will forgive us of our sins. But y'all, it's a life change. You can't just say it and walk out of here and do whatever you were doing before you came in. It's about saying, hey, everything about me has got to change. And I know I can't do it by myself, and I'm going to give my life to Christ and let Him turn this thing around. If you're in here and you know that's what you need, I want to pray with you. Can you raise your hand? If you're in here and you're like, I need to give my life to Christ, I got you guys. Keep your hands up till we can get a Bible in your hand. Awesome. Right up here. Anybody else? If you raised your hand, can you look up at me? I would be honored to pray with you. Can you come up here so I can pray with you? Don't worry about any of what these people think. They're so excited for you because we get to spend eternity together. So come on up here. Come on, guys. This is so cool. This is so cool. What's your name? Ethan. I love your smile, Ethan. I love your smile. Hi, I'm Amber. CJ, nice to meet you. Eugene, nice to meet you guys. Okay, here's what's super awesome. Everything up to this point doesn't matter anymore. Hey, kiddo. It doesn't matter anymore. Because God is going to take whatever happened up to here, and He's going to turn around. That doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but you're never alone. Look at me. Eternity changes right now for you and for your future and the people you come in contact with. You now are going to be carriers of the gospel of Jesus. Hey, buddy. How are you? Good. You're carriers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You walk out of here and the world may have labels on you that no longer define who you are. Let them talk about Kanye. Let them talk about you. You talk about Jesus. Amen? We're going to turn this world upside down for Him. This isn't a magic prayer, but He is a good God. And the Bible says when we confess, we believe, He'll change our lives. And we get to spend eternity in heaven together. Let's pray, okay? Y'all repeat after me. Can I get you guys to all do that with us? Let's pray with them. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't do this by myself. I confess my sins. I commit my life to You. Give me a craving for Your word. A desire to be surrounded by other believers. And a boldness to share who You are with the world around me. I give my life to You, Jesus. Now use my life to tell the world about You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys, give them a hand. This is awesome. I don't know you guys. I don't know your story, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not defined by any of that anymore. You hear me? You either, little buddy. Life's been hard, hadn't it? You don't even have teeth in your mouth. What has happened? I'm just kidding. Okay. Oh, you just lost those two. Okay, good stuff. You lost four. Oh, better be careful with that. You guys will go right over here. These ladies would love to pray with you. Love you guys, and so glad you're part of the family of God now. Amen. Now, for the rest of us, and I didn't do this last service, but I mean, this is the last service today. Let's just do it with your eyes open. How many of y'all can be honest that you struggle with doubt sometimes? Yeah. How many of you guys with your hands raised can say, but I know I need to let Jesus involved in this? There ain't nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with asking for God to be more involved in our situations. That's when lives change. Some of y'all need to deal with some forgiveness. I don't know who you are. You got to let some things go. It's weighing you down, and it's keeping you from being and going and pursuing the things God has for you. You need to forgive people that will never tell you sorry. You need to forgive those people. They don't own you. They don't define you. They don't call you, but you are called and you are qualified. Let's stand up and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. And Jesus, I thank you for your unfailing love. I thank you, Jesus, that in a room full of people who have made mistakes and who have failed and feel unqualified and unpurposed, when we cling to you, all of that changes. Thank you, Lord, that through our lives, you're going to do great things. Thank you, God, that you have a call on every person in this room and every person watching online. Lord, I pray that you give us all a boldness to represent you like we never have. Help us to take every day as a blessing, making sure that when we stand before you, Kanye didn't do a better job than we did. Lord, thank you for him. Thank you that he's pursuing you. Whatever that looks like, Lord, I pray you surround him with people that will disciple and encourage and build him up. And Lord, forgive the critical preachers that think that they're the only ones that have a right to preach. Forgive me for being critical. Help us, Jesus, to love you more, and help us to make you famous in this world that is lost and hurting and needs to know you well. In your precious name, amen. Our prayer team is down here. If you'd like to pray, please come down here. The rest of you, leave and make a difference, and we'll see you next week. We love you.